Would you take your Bible with me, please, this morning to the book of Romans? And would you find with me together Romans chapter 8? Romans 8. When was the last time that you had a tough day? This is said to have been reported on a company accident report, and this is the account of what happened for this man. He said, "When I got to the building, I found that a hurricane had knocked off some bricks off the top of the building. So I rigged up a beam with a pulley at the top of the building and hoisted up a couple barrels of bricks. When I had fixed the damaged area, there were lots of bricks left over. So then I went to the bottom and I began releasing the line. Unfortunately, as I released the line, I realized the barrel of bricks was much heavier than I was. And before I knew what was happening, the barrel started coming down. As I was holding the rope, it jerked me up. I decided to hang on since I was too far off the ground by then to jump. And halfway up, I met the barrel of bricks coming down fast. I received a hard blow on my shoulder. I then continued to the top, banging my head against the beam and getting my fingers pinched and jammed in the pulley. When the barrel hit the ground, it burst the bottom, allowing the bricks to spill out. I was now heavier than the barrel, so I started down at a high speed. Halfway down, I met the barrel coming up fast and received several injuries to my chins. When I hit the ground, I landed on a pile of spilled bricks, getting several painful cuts and bruises. At this, I lost the presence of mind because I let go of the line. The barrel came down fast, giving me another blow on my head and putting me in the hospital." He says, "I respectfully request sick leave." Chances are you haven't had as tough a day anywhere in your experience. But that's one way of looking at a tough day. And I'm going to begin here by asking, how many of you have children? 3, 4, about 5 of you have children. Do you think that your children ever understand why you, dad or mom, have said what you said or did what you did? Do you really think your children understand your decisions? What's wrong with children when they don't understand the decisions that their parents make? Well, let's just take a moment to try to explain that. Do you think your children understand your reasoning? You are a parent. Do you think your child understands your reasoning? Do you think there's anything wrong with your child for not understanding? Listen, your son or your daughter is just simply being a child, while you, an adult, are just simply being a parent. So would you please agree with me that children, generally speaking, don't understand the workings of the parent's mind? Can I get anybody to agree with me on that? Especially when your decisions affect them. Now, I'm going to read a Bible passage this morning that I want to apply, obviously. I want you to do your best to apply what you just agreed with me on this passage. Here's the passage I want you to look with me. Look at the 28th verse of your passage in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Now, I want to go a step further here. I want you to think about yourself as a child and your Heavenly Father as your parent. You're His son, you're His daughter. You know him, and you know he loves you, and he has his purposes, and he has his reasons. And it says in the Bible that he's working all things in your life together for a purpose. Is there anybody here who understands the working of your Heavenly Father? Especially when he allows things to come into your life that sometimes don't appear to make sense. Now, by the way, I wanted you to think about that because I want you to consider the fact that as parents, oftentimes our kids don't understand why we have said or done what we've done. As equally, we don't oftentimes understand why our Heavenly Father allows what he allows to come into our experience. I want you to think with me about the title of today's message. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that when we come to you, Lord, we know we're coming to a Heavenly Father who understands and knows and cares and specifically works things in our lives. Many cases we don't understand, Lord. So we come this morning and pray for your help. We know what your word says, dear Lord. We pray that you will apply these words to our hearts today. We pray that we'll find, dear Lord, your life in these pages, in these words. And Father, so we put ourselves at your disposal this morning and ask that you speak to our hearts. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. The title of today's sermon is The Seeds That You Plant. Now, some of you may have read Robert Louis Stevenson's greatest work, Treasure Island. Anybody read Treasure Island? Did you know that he and another writer wrote a sequel to Treasure Island? Anybody read the sequel to Treasure Island? It's a book actually is referred to as, it's called Admiral Guinea. And the subtitle goes like this: Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you plant. It's about a retired slave trader who would not allow his daughter to be married to an ungodly man. It's an amazing story because somehow the ungodly man gets on the right side of the prospective father-in-law by helping him find his treasure chest full of jewels and the gold medallions and so forth. But I want you to think with me about the fact that the seeds that you plant are pretty significant, only we don't realize many times as Christians what we're planting. Look again with me at the 28th verse. Paul says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, brethren, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, then he also glorified." Now, you don't have to be a farmer to know that what you plant, you're going to reap. Most of us here are not farmers. But you don't have to be a farmer to understand that when you put particular seeds in the ground, that's what you're going to produce. By the way, we also know that the harvest always comes at the end. And I want you to see what the end is first. I want you to see what the end is first. The Bible says this: them he also glorified. It's in past tense, as though it's already accomplished. That's the end. So what's happening today? What are the seeds that you are planting? Every day you either know that God is working all things together each day of your life for good, or he's not. So I want to talk about the seeds. I want you to think about the seeds as the things that you have surrendered to God from your heart clearly surrendering them, knowing that God has allowed things to come into your path. Listen, folks, that He's working together for your good. That's what He teaches in the Bible. I want to go over a couple things with you this morning out of the passage, and I hope it'll be a help to your life. Now, first of all, there are what is oftentimes referred to as the links in a divine chain that God is working upon your life. And of course, the chain goes all the way into the heart of God. And the chain, the Bible tells us specifically, listen, it's like this. His foreknowledge, your predestination and your conformity to the image of Christ, His personal calling upon you, His purpose for your life, and your justification and your glorification. These parts of the chain, I said, that God has prescribed already coming from His heart down to your heart. You see, your Christian life began on the moment that you were justified, on the moment you became a believer in Christ. And it ends with your glorification. When you will be just like Jesus, and I want you to think with me about the fact that we live in between when we were saved and when we're going to be glorified. And God is working all the things in our lives together for good to those who love Him, to those that are called according to His purpose. I'm of the opinion, and I could be wrong on this, but I'm of the opinion that most of us have very little idea of the big picture. And we don't consider the fact that God's got His hand upon us for our good, by allowing everything that He allows to come into our experience. Many of us, maybe most of us, maybe all of us, are oftentimes completely baffled by what God allows to come into our experience. Listen, you can't see the beginning. You can't see the end. There's only one person who knows the beginning from the end, and that is Almighty God. We live in the middle from the beginning to the end. If we would be honest about it, when things go the way they are going in your life today, I'm going to guess that some of you have the idea that it's okay to judge God because of what He allowed to come into your experience. And what you are doing, in essence, is you are forgetting that He's in charge. And He knows the big picture because He knows the beginning from the end. Listen, the harvest is coming. Every single day of your life, by your attitudes, by my attitudes, we're planting seeds. I want you to think again with me about what the Bible says. This is what your life looks like today. If you were to go to God and you said, God, what does my life really look like from your perspective? You know what He'd say to you? All things work together for good to those who love God and those that are called according to His purpose. So I'm going to tell you, folks, this morning, that the links of the divine chain that God has upon your life. Many of us have no idea about the divine chain. But please don't be surprised by things that God often allows in your life, because God's doing something to your heart. I'll show you that as we go today. There are people who have, matter of fact, a man a while back said these words. He was facing a very, very difficult thing in his life. And this is what he said to me. He says, he asked me directly, he says, why is God doing this to me? Is what he said. Well, I know that we have our opinion of God when He allows certain things to come in our lives. Maybe we've even said the same thing. But there's a divine chain that goes right from God's heart into our hearts. And folks, think, He knows the beginning from the end. And right now, upon your life, God's working everything together in his amazing, phenomenal way. Second thing I want you to see is that God's sovereign hand is accomplishing his purpose upon your life. Now, everybody here likely will agree with me that God runs the universe, that God keeps it all together, that God knows exactly what he's doing in the universe. Do you think that the one who runs the universe can't oversee your personal life? Do you think he doesn't understand what's going on in your personal life? Do you think he doesn't understand your heart? Do you think he doesn't understand why you don't like some of the things that he has allowed to come into your experience? God is a heavenly Father. I need always God's word to smooth out my thoughts. I've got my approach to life just like you have. And when things happen to me, just like when things happen to you, I need the Bible to smooth things out for me. Now listen what the Bible says. The Bible says that your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. And you're saying, I don't need this. I have had people say that exact thing to me. I don't need this. Listen, he has absolute power. He's the sovereign of the universe. He's got perfect love. And listen, all of that enables him to operate on your life as he pleases. Listen, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Do I dare say to you this morning that God is full of you? He knows everything that there is to know about you. Full knowledge of you. He knew you according to the Bible when you were in your mother's womb. And he knows your end. And he has a specific purpose, not only ultimately, but every day of your experience. Is there anybody here that's gotten upset recently about what God allowed to come into their lives? No hands, please. You didn't like what God allowed, or you still don't like what God allows. And you think that you know better than God. Listen, folks, there are lots of people who think they know better than God and that they can judge God because of what God allowed. Listen, his ultimate purpose is to conform you to somebody else's character. He's conforming you to somebody else's character by what he allows. Listen, he's shaping, he's molding, and he's remaking you into the image of his son. And that's because he's going to take you all the way from justification all the way to glorification. He made you righteous, and now he's making you even more and more in your experience like his son, so that one of these days you're going to stand in glory, listen, with a perfect likeness to his son. Present program, he's working all these things together. God's time, God's effort is going into your life. He spends all day on you while he spends all day on me. He spends all day on you while he spends all day on me. Don't you think that a sovereign God who can handle the universe can take care of all the things that are going on in your life? Listen, folks, I have had this asked. Why is God constantly allowing problems in my life? Maybe it was you that came to me with this question. Why is he forever allowing difficult people to be part of my life? Why is he insistent that I have to deal with troubles, honestly speaking, that I don't want in my life? Well, the answer is right here in your Bible. If you will receive it, it's your answer from God. These two little words are actually one word in the original language. See these two words here? Work together. See that there? They're actually one word. It's a compound word in the original language, and it actually is work together. It's like two people who are working on a project. They have one goal in mind, but those two people are attempting to achieve one goal. Do I dare say to you this morning that there are two people that are working in your life right now to conform you to the image of His Son? That God is working upon your life to make you more like Christ. And there is no way He can do it unless He allows these things to come into your life. They are specific. It's almost like God's got a plan for my life. It's almost like God's working in my life by allowing these people in my life and these problems to come in my life. I found an interesting passage over in 1 Corinthians, which is exactly the same word in the original language. And look how it's translated in 1 Corinthians. It says this, that you submit yourself unto such and to everyone that helps with us and labors. It's translated there three words, helps with us. It's the exact same words as in the original that we found over in Romans chapter 8. Listen, I know you think that God is working generically. Some people think that God's working capriciously, that He doesn't have any purpose in why He allows what He allows. But listen, it's intentional. It's specific. It's personal. God is helping you with all these things that you don't think are for your help. Listen, this is what the Bible teaches. All things are helped together by God for good. Now, can you imagine a machine with 14 working parts? Does anybody know of a machine anywhere that has 14 working parts? Of course you do. For example, a self-operating napkin. The spoon, A, is raised to the mouth, pulling a string, B, and thereby jerking a ladle, C, which throws a cracker, D, to the parrot. The parrot jumps after the cracker, and that his perch, F, tilts, upsetting some seeds, G, into a pail, H. Extra weight is in the pail now, pulls a cord, I, which opens and ignites a lighter, J, setting off a rocket, K, which causes a sickle, L, to cut a string, M, allowing a pendulum with an attached napkin to swing back and forth, wiping the man's chin, and all that works together for good. Now, you're saying, that's funny. What's going on in my life is not funny. It's trouble. It's like trouble, one trouble, and then another, and then another, and then another. And then, isn't there any end to trouble? Listen, God is a troublemaker. Listen, God is a troublemaker. I mean that with all my heart. Right now, God is working together. Trouble, as well as all the comforts and blessings and delights in your life. Listen, the Bible says He's working them all together for good. That's what He teaches in the Bible. There are plenty of us who reject God before we come to Christ. What I've noticed in my experience with many Christians is many Christians reject God as Christians, because they don't particularly like the way God works. And so they stand in judgment of a holy, sovereign God. I want to tell you this morning that God is like a divine conductor. He's sovereign, He's perfect, He's a heavenly Father, and He's coordinating all the things in our lives for one grand purpose, and it's His purpose for you. He's not averse to bringing things and people into your life that you don't think you need. I know that some of you have had some experience with this, and you could probably tell us what some of those experiences are. But listen, folks, there's a bigger picture than you think with your two eyes and with your mind. Listen, folks, there's a larger picture of what's going on in your life, and the way you find the larger picture is by staying in contact with God through what He says. And just like a parent, the parent makes choices on behalf of the child. The choices oftentimes that the child doesn't like, the child sometimes thinks he knows better than the parent. And God is the one who is choosing the path, the people, the problems, and the pleasures, because He's sovereign. He's a perfect Father. I want to tell you this morning, there in days gone by was a show that only those of us who are over 60 will probably remember. In the black and white days of television, it was called Father Knows Best. Some of the younger folks here have probably never seen Father Knows Best. But listen, folks, Father Knows Best. Listen, Father knows best. What He allows is what He allows. He doesn't say, well, let's see, He probably won't like that, so I'm not going to allow that because I don't think He'll like that. Listen what God says. Your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask Him. Listen, all of what's happening in your life is wrapped up in this beautiful word, good. He knows the day of glorification for you. And if He takes you out of this world today, then He's going to glorify you a little earlier, maybe then He's going to glorify the rest of us. But would you think about how marvelous it is to know that up to this point in your life, God is and has been working everything together for good? The harvest is based upon the seeds that you plant. And I would say that among other things, I have to do this, and I'm going to exhort you to do the same thing. You have to take your attitude by the nape of the neck and shake it until you realize life does not revolve around you. When you have a little baby in the house, what does that baby think? That baby thinks, everything in life revolves around me. You know who everything really revolves around, folks? It all revolves around Him. Everything is His program. Everything is dependent upon Him. I'm saying to you this morning, folks, that my place and your place is one thing and one thing alone, and that is to be fully surrendered to Him. And when things come your way that are unsettling, when things come your way that are difficult, when things come your way that make you irritable, when things come your way that are, quote unquote, too big for you to handle, would you please, please remember, folks, that you can say to Him, I surrender all. It's big. It's very, very big, to say the least. He's working everything in your life for your benefit. So I'm going to say to you, finally, from verse 28, what is your response? I could say, what has been your response over the course of the last year, we'll say. But I want to ask the question today, what is your response? And this is what the Bible says. Watch this. The Bible says, first, your initial response should be, what do I know? Do you know? Can you say before the Lord today, I know that everything is working together in my life for good? Meaning that nothing in my life is for my detriment? Does anybody want to say that to God today? Lord, everything is working in my life together for good, and nothing in my life is working for my detriment. You think God can work everything together in your life for good. You see, mentally, you can say yes. You might even be able to sing a song and sing emotionally, yes, God can work everything together in my life for good. You know what the scripture says in this whole matter? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, watch this, are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians 4. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look at things which are seen. We look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. I'm thinking how marvelous it is that we, as believers in Christ, those who know God, we can say that we're looking at things that are eternal. Yes, the world wants us to focus on what we see in the present with our eyes. But the Bible wants us to put our focus upon the one who we can't see and the eternal things. So this is what you ought to know. That's the first attitude. That's the first response. Second response, stop resisting. Do I dare ask if any of you have recently been resisting the Lord? You know what the Bible says if we resist Him, what happens? The Bible says that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. It is difficult. There's no two ways about it. It is difficult to live the Christian life. As a matter of fact, it's impossible. For those of you who are going through difficulties and finding it difficult to live the Christian life, I want you to realize that all God wants is for you to humble yourself beneath His mighty hand. Because when you do that, the Bible says He dispenses grace. That's the way it works. So what do I know? Secondly, stop resisting. Thirdly, full surrender works every single time. You see, if you're loving the Lord, you want to show Him your love by complete surrender. Begin the day, I surrender all, Lord. I'm going through the day, I surrender all, Lord. Something happens, a problem comes up that I don't think I can handle, I surrender all, Lord. You see, you can expect God to accomplish good by whatever comes into your life today. That's what God says in His Word. You don't think God knows what He's doing? You don't think He understands you? You don't think He understands what you're going through? You don't think He understands how you're feeling? I'm of the opinion, based on the Bible, that my Heavenly Father is wiser than my being a father. I thought I knew how to raise my kids. I probably did a lot more whatever. But somehow, they're still my kids. My Heavenly Father is wiser than my fatherhood. He's wiser than you. And if you don't believe that God's coordinating everything in your life and is generating good, then you're believing a lie. Because the Bible says that He's working it all together for good. The only answer is full surrender. I want to tell you a final story. It's a true story. It's a young man by the name of Joseph. And I want you to think with me about the following. I want you to think with me about the all things that come into Joseph's life. Watch this. These are all the things that I know of that came into Joseph's life. Probably there were more things. He was the youngest of 11 boys. He was his father's favorite. He was also a dreamer. And one day he made the mistake of telling his dreams to his brothers. And the result was that they took it personally. And they thought they knew better because they didn't like the idea that it sounded like one day these older brothers were going to have to bow down to the younger brother. And the result was that they hated their little brother. They nicknamed him the Dreamer. Well, his father got the idea that he wanted to give him a nice tunic, so he gave him this beautiful tunic that he could wear so that everybody would know that he was special, especially in the eyes of his dad. On one occasion, Dad sent Joseph out to check on his older brothers to see whether they were doing what they should have been doing. And the Bible tells a story of this man. The brothers so hated him that when they saw him, they sold him as a slave. Then they went back and lied to their father about him. They completely forgot about him. He went and got resold to another slave owner. Then the scripture tells us he was solicited to join his master's wife in an immoral relationship, which he refused to do, and somebody else lied about him. Then unjustly, the young man was put in prison. And in prison, he was forgotten. And then when half of his life was over, he was granted his freedom. And the story in the Bible, which is true, is that this man became the second in command over the entire country, actually the entire empire of Egypt. How many of you think that all things worked together for Joseph? You mean to tell me that when he was in prison all those years, and when he was unjustly put in the prison, and when he was mistreated by his brothers, you really think that all that was working together for good? You want to know what Joseph said about it? As for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. That's reality. That's the blessedness of the reality. How many of you really think that Joseph thought everything was working just wonderfully in his life? Everything was just working wonderfully in his life. You really think that everything is working wonderfully in that man's life? Well, in the end, it was the glorification. That's the reality. The Bible is the book that tells you the reality. And if the Bible says we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those that are called according to His purpose, that is the truth. That's the whole truth. That's nothing but the truth. You believe anything else, you're accepting a lie. So what are you going to plant for seeds today? Let's just take one thing. Let's just take one big thing that's in your life right now that you don't want and you don't like. Just take one big thing that you don't like. And I'm going to have you pray a prayer. Lord, help me to see this one thing as part of the all things that you are working together for good and for the benefit of my life. Thank you for working in my life today. Thank you for being my Father. I love you. That prayer will help immensely whatever it is that's coming your way, based upon Romans 8, verses 29 and 30. Jesus said these words. He said, "I delight to do thy will." Anybody ever read the life of Jesus? Anybody think that he had a challenging, difficult life? You see, the harvest is the glory that God's going to one day reveal in you. The harvest will come. The glorification of individual Christians, where we become like Jesus, perfect in our character, will one day come. And the seeds of today, folks, are just the things that come as part of that harvest. What is your response? It's always a response to God. So what kind of plants, what kind of seeds did you plant this week? What kind of seeds are you going to plant today? If you don't plant those seeds of having right knowledge, holding the right attitude, please remember that chances are it will get more difficult, because God is always persistent. God knows how to get us to become like Jesus. And we think we have our way. And he says, and guess what? There's a better way, and that's my way. I don't have any right to judge the judge. I don't have any right to judge the judge. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Lord, I thank you that your word is true. I know there are some here this morning, Lord, that are going through things that are a whole lot bigger than anything I'm going through. But you know all about it, Lord. And they now know that you know all about it, Lord. And that you've got your specific finger on a specific thing in their hearts. And all you want, Lord, is for them to surrender. For me to surrender, Lord. I surrender all. I pray for each one this morning, Lord, has heard these words, that we'll be able to say with all our hearts, I surrender all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.